Good morning, everyone. I think today is a good day just to praise the Lord. Well, come on now. I know there's a lot of things going on in the news, and it can be a little discouraging, and unfortunately, our shutdown is dragging on and on and on, and sometimes it can be just a little bit tiring. So today, I want to push back against that frustration, and I want us to do it by lifting our voices and our hands and our hearts to heaven and just praising God. Are you with me? Well, I want to start with an old song from Psalms 100. Perhaps you know it, some may not. I'm going to sing it through, and then I want you to join with me, and we'll sing it again. It's like this. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I know some of you know that and some of you don't. But you know what? Just join with me. Don't have to worry about wearing a mask. And I'm sure you're at home or by yourself or something like that, so you're not in a crowd. So sing with me if you know it. If not, we're going to hit something that you do know in just a second. Let's sing. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Well, you might be saying, well, it's too early in the morning for me to praise the Lord. Folks, we can praise the Lord anytime. And remember, listen to what David said. God has made me glad. Our praise, our worship is not based upon any external circumstances. Our praise and worship is based on him, and he has made me glad. What a way to praise God. Well, perhaps you want something a little more traditional. Well, try this one. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't it lift you up just to praise and give God the glory? Well, let's just praise God together and honor him with our voices and with our thoughts and with our heart. So let's get started. If you look through the Bible, you'll find that praise is a very popular subject for God. You'll find praise mentioned 214 times. So obviously, praise is very important to our Creator. There's even one chapter in the Bible that talks 100% about praise, and that's Psalms chapter 150, the last psalm in the whole book. Let me read that to you. Praise the Lord. I love how he started. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him with the sounding cymbals and praise him with the loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So do you have breath in you today? Then praise the Lord. Let me review that. David said, praise him on the inside. He said, praise him on the outside. He said, praise him with the trumpets. Praise him with the strings. Praise him with the drums and the cymbals, and praise him with the loud cymbals. There's nothing quiet about this. David was talking about exuberant praise. And if we have breath in our bodies, we need to praise God like that. So maybe you need some examples. Let's take a quick run through the Old Testament. Nehemiah, when he finished building the wall, all of Jerusalem gathered together. I think the Bible said they had two choirs, and the praise and worship leaders led the people, and the people got loud, so much so that you can hear the singing outside of Jerusalem. This is loud, expressive praise. And then when Solomon dedicated the temple, the whole city turned out again, and the praise leader led the worshipers. These people had loud and dominating praise, so much so that it eventually went into a very deep time of worship. Wow, would have been wonderful to have been there. Then David, our example, David. One day when he was watching his armies return, he is up in his room. He got so excited, he began jumping up and down and dancing and twisting and twirling, and so much so that it embarrassed his wife. Well, guess what David did? He did it anyway. I can hear some people say now, well, these guys are all rejoicing in a victory. Well, I think we need to praise God even in a difficult place. Let me give you an example. Paul and Silas, they were in prison. Stocks, chains, no air conditioner, and no free education. They were in stocks and chains, and at midnight, they started praying and singing and praising. How rude of them to wake up the other prisoners. Well, God heard. And he responded, and because Paul and Silas was praising and praying and singing, God shook the place, and the doors flew open, the chains fell off, and they came walking right out. So do you get the point? It's time, regardless of the situation or circumstances, it's time that we begin praising God. Praise God. All right. I know that some of us just really don't feel like praising God. We've all been there. And most of the time, it's because we are just disappointed with God. Am I right? Well, perhaps God didn't do things the way that you expected him to do them. Perhaps you think that God let you down. Well, listen, it's not a sin to be disappointed with God. In fact, it's very human. But unfortunately, in times of deep disappointment, these times can lead us to a very shaky faith, and often people lose their faith and just walk away. But I want you to point out some things. If you're disappointed with God, you're not alone. Let's take another run through the Bible. Job, good old Job. The richest man in the land. He had everything, but God allowed him to lose everything he had, including his family, his stock, everything that he had, he lost. He even lost his health, and Job was just over it. He was done with it all. But never during that time did he accuse God. But that didn't stop him from being deeply disappointed. There was another man by the name of Jonah. Jonah got angry with God. Well, God wanted him to go warn some people, and these particular people, Jonah hated them. I mean, he hated them. And Jonah thought if he went and preached to these people, then God would forgive them and restore them. And Jonah said, I'm just not going to go. So he went the other way. You know the story. Jonah ran the other way, and God put him in the belly of a great big fish. I'm sure this was a really, really good place for some silent meditation, although it's probably pretty smelly, don't you think? But eventually Jonah got his head straight, and he went out and he warned those in Nineveh that God's judgment was coming. They repented. But Jonah finally got his head straight, and he did what God wanted him to do. There are others that experienced disappointment with God, and they're much more recent. Billy Graham was disappointed with God. C.S. Lewis and Mother Teresa were at times deeply disappointed with God. All of this because God might have remained silent during difficult times, or again, maybe he didn't work according to their expectations, and they were disappointed. Well, as you know, God eventually greatly used all of these people. It's because they finally said, "Okay, Lord, do it your way. I'm on your team. I'll follow you. I just surrender." And God used them beyond their wildest dreams. But first, they went through the disappointment. Kind of, it might be where you find yourself. So, you see, it's really important for us to praise God. Firstly, it's because we know that God expects that from us. Well, you know that. I'm not telling you something new. But there is another reason that praise is good for us. Now, let's define praise. Praise is simply showing gratitude to God. And showing gratitude is good for you. The Harvard Health Reports writes this: in positive psychological research, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude, happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, and deal with adversity, and even build strong relationships. Let me review. So gratitude will improve your physical health. Gratitude will improve your mental health. Gratitude will improve your relational health. Are you interested? It can all come with praise. And gratitude will improve your spiritual health. Don't forget that. So if you're struggling with anything, you just might want to check out your gratitude factor. Well, over the last couple of years, I've been able to interview several people who are 100 years old or older, and I asked them what their secret was. Well, in most every case, they were grateful for the lives that they've been able to live, and they were happy to say so. No, their lives were not easy, and in many cases, it was much harder than the lives we live. But they made the choice to respond with gratitude to whatever they had to go through. I guess that's one of the reasons that they lived to be 100 years old. But don't forget, in our context today, gratitude toward God is what praise is all about. So are you grateful to God? But I do understand that one of the greatest hindrances of praise is unbelief. And sometimes hard situations, they just might destroy our faith. And in closing, I would like to leave you with two stories from the life of Jesus. And these stories were hopeless situations. First, we all know Mary and Martha. And they were very close to Jesus, and unfortunately, the sister's brother died. He got sick, and he died. And Jesus took a really long time to show up. That would have been hard. But when he did show up, the grieving Martha unloaded on Jesus. She said, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Can you feel and hear her frustration, her broken heart? She is disappointed with Jesus. And secondly, there was a man by the name of Jairus. this guy came to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his critically ill little girl. Jesus went with Jairus, but unfortunately he got distracted with someone else, and then the horrible news came to Jairus that his daughter had died. Can you imagine what he felt? Can you imagine the crush into his life? He had gone to the healer. He had gone to Jesus. Jesus was coming with him, and Jesus got distracted. Then his daughter died. What's the use? But Jesus steps in and listen closely to what he said. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Let me say it again. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Only believe. For both Jairus and for Martha, Jesus stepped in and did what no power, no other power could do. He raised him from the dead. Folks, let's keep that in mind. Don't be afraid. Only believe. And that's the key. Jesus challenged both of these people. Only believe. You see, we have to trust him. Regardless of the circumstance. Regardless of how wearing things can be. We've got to trust Jesus. You see, it's God. He is the only being, the only person who can do what no other power can do. Don't forget that. So if you're disappointed with God, let me encourage you to work through those difficulties. Don't give up. More importantly, just choose. Make that personal choice. Just to believe God. Why? Because he really can do what no other power can do. It's an old song that went like this. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? Well, God specializes in things that are impossible. He can do for you what no other power can do. But first, you gotta believe him. You gotta get your head around that. Believe him. It doesn't matter the circumstances. You gotta believe him. And then praise and gratitude will follow. Listen, that confident, God-honoring, and health-healing praise will follow believing. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the overwhelming confidence that there is nothing you can't do. Father, we just need to trust you and believe you regardless of the circumstances that you allow us to go through. And we know as we trust you, we can lift our voices in praise because you have everything under control. Yes, you may not show us the end, but you know what you're doing, and we have to trust you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.